Normally, when we think about our body, when we see our body, we think about a body that we normally see, an inherently existent body, a body that truly exists, a body that exists from its own side, objectively. Even though when we're looking at our body in a mirror, maybe you're looking in a mirror, you're only seeing a part of your body, you're seeing the face, isn't it? Or maybe the hand or something like that. But what our ignorance then does, it then cognizes, that it understands that somehow within the parts of the body, there's an independent body that is independent and separate from the parts, separate from the collection of the parts. It just is a body existing from its own side. It's a single object. It doesn't depend upon anything. And then we cherish that body. We consider that body to be extremely important, extremely precious. If anyone harms our body, we feel hurt, we suffer, and so forth. So many mistakes come because of our mistaken perception, mistaken understanding about our body. So, in Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, you know, Shantideva says, therefore, there is no body. There is no body. But because of ignorance, we see a body within the hands and so forth. Just like a mind mistakenly apprehending a person when observing the shape of a pile of stones at dusk. So, you know, dusk when it's getting dark, if you're walking in a field somewhere, you can see a big pile of rocks or stones in the distance, then you can mistake it for a person. You know, there's a person over there. But when you go over, it's just a pile of stones. Shantideva is using this analogy to teach us that we're doing the same with our very own body. We're seeing a collection of parts of the body, and inside it, or somehow we're perceiving an inherently existent body. So what we need to do in order to find the ultimate truth of our body is engage in, yes, analysis. We engage in some investigation to try to find our body. Okay? So, as you know, many of you know this, but I'll remind you quickly, there are two ways of searching for an object. You can say a conventional search, or I would say a search of ignorance. When we find the thing that we're looking for, where's my body? Oh, it's here. Okay? We find the thing we believe is the body. It's here. That's a conventional search, or a searching with ignorance, actually. But if we want to be scientific and precise, which I hope we do, because we want the wisdom that solves all our problems, then we need to ask ourselves, well, precisely, where is the body? Exactly where is the body? We can call this an ultimate search, or searching with wisdom. We can ask ourselves, is my body this? Is my body that? Is my body here? Is it there? And so forth. And, what can we say? If our body did exist in the way that it appears to us, then we should be able to point to our body without pointing to any phenomenon that is not our body. Okay, so if our body exists as we think it does, a single independent phenomenon, single thing, we should be able to point to it and say, this is the body. And at that time, we're not pointing to anything that is not the body. You agree? Yes, you do agree. So, we should be able to point to our body without pointing to any phenomenon that is not our body. We should be able to find our body amongst its parts. And now, I know you've heard this many, many times, but please listen carefully. Please follow the reasoning. Perfect reasoning. If we can do this reasoning with the body, simple reasoning, we can do it with any phenomenon. We can find the ultimate truth of any phenomenon quickly, and quickly free ourselves from suffering. We should be able to find our body amongst its parts or outside its parts. And there is no third possibility, that's it. If the body that we believe exists, the body I normally see, my body, then it must be amongst the parts or separate from the parts. There's no other way, there's no other possibility. There's no other way for it to exist. Amongst the parts or separate from the parts, okay? Do you agree? Yes, you agree. Good. Okay. I better read this quickly. So it's not difficult to understand that the individual parts of our body are not our body. My head is not my body, is it? My hand is not my body. It is a part of my body. My head is part of my body, but it's not the body itself. Okay? My trunk is not the body. My arm is not the body. These are just parts of the body. If my head was my body, my hand was my body, my arm my body, I would have many, many bodies. Oh, there's a body, there's a body, there's bodies everywhere here. So it's absurd, isn't it, to say that the body is the parts. It's a single part, it's a single part. So this is easy to understand. Then the next step is the most difficult for most people, which is to try to understand that the collection of the parts is not the body either. The collection of the parts is not the body. And everyone's thinking, yes, it is. What else is it if it's not the body? The truth is, it's just a collection of parts of the body. Okay? It's just a collection of parts. It is not the body. The body we're talking about, the body we normally see, the body we get upset about and so forth, is a single phenomenon. It doesn't actually exist, but we believe it does. It's a single phenomenon that is not one of the parts, and it's not the collection of the parts. So I know from my own researches in the past that we find this point extremely difficult. The collection of the parts is the body within. The collection of the parts is the body. So if that's true, I'll just read from Geshe-la's script just to make it quicker. If we can point to the collection of the parts and say, this in itself is our body, okay? The collection of the parts is the body. Then, the collection of the parts of our body must exist independently of all phenomena that are not our body. The collection of, if the collection of the parts of our body is our body, it must exist independently of anything else that is not our body. You accept? I think so. We have to think about that, but it's true. So, consequence, what does follow? What follows from this? It would follow that the collection of the parts of our body exists independently of the parts themselves. The collection of the parts of the body exists independently of the parts themselves. Is this making any sense to you? I don't think so. It's absurd, isn't it? So we don't like this. We find it's a very, very difficult point, but I'm pointing you to this section in the chapter on Ultimate Bodhicitta and How to Transform Your Life, which you can download for free on the laptop you're watching this on. Okay, so it shouldn't be difficult to find in the chapter on Ultimate Bodhicitta this particular reasoning. If the collection of the parts of our body is the body itself, okay, which is what we all want to say, don't we? The collection, that's the body. But if that's true, then the collection of the parts of the body should exist independently of anything that is not a collection of the parts. So each of the individual parts is not the collection of the parts, it's just an individual part. So it's possible for us to remove all the parts, and the collection of the parts should be remaining. If we're right, but we're not right, are we? It's crazy. How can you remove each individual part and the collection of the part remains? Impossible.